In our second reading today, St. Paul talks about freedom. He says Christ came to set us free. I think a good question to ask is free from what? Now, this is America. We live in a free country. We showed the King of England who was boss over 200 years ago so we could have our freedom. But what St. Paul is talking about is not just physical freedom. He's talking about freedom from sin. And the fact that each one of us have sinned, and the consequence of sin is eternal punishment. And Christ came to rescue us from that and to free us from that so we could live as children of God. And that's what we become through our baptism. And so it's a spiritual freedom that he's talking about that we enjoy, that Christ won for us. But St. Paul goes on to warn us, don't go back into slavery. If Christ just freed us from sin, don't turn back and go right back into the same sins that he just freed us from. And if you're broken out of prison, don't go back in. And unfortunately, all of us do that. After we've been freed from sin, we turn right back and go back to sin. We go back to the desires of the flesh, is what St. Paul calls them in the second reading. And so I wanted to look at that today. St. Paul encourages us to live by the Spirit and not to follow the desires of the flesh. But I want to focus in today on one particular desire of the flesh because it's an epidemic within our nation. It's rampant. And it's destroying the purity of our youth, it destroys marriages, and ultimately, it destroys souls. And so what I'm talking about is immoral content on the internet. I was looking at some data on it, and the current data shows that 30% of all internet traffic is immoral content. That means it's by far the largest industry on the internet and the largest entertainment, if you want to call it that, industry in the world. And a lot of people have grown so accustomed to it and it's such a part of our culture that they don't even see what's wrong with it. They view it as just being normal. Well, here's what's wrong with it. Here's the problem. Human beings are not images to be looked at and stripped of their own dignity. They're not an object to be used for our own pleasure. Every human being is a person created by God, and they should be loved, honored, and respected at all times. And ultimately, every human being is created to be an adopted child of God, to reign as a child of our Father in heaven for all eternity. And how dare we strip a child of God of their dignity? If we want to look at the difference between a healthy relationship and an unhealthy relationship, if we look at a family relationship, like brothers and sisters, for example, brothers and sisters spend a lot of time together. And they know each other's personalities. They know who's patient and who has a short fuse. They know who's kind and who holds a grudge, who's forgiving. They know what their brothers and sisters like to do for fun. They know who their friends are. They know what annoys their brothers and sisters. And sometimes they'll go after that quite frequently. And even though they might fight and bicker a lot, they're real relationships. They see who each other are as real people. They see the totality of the person. What images do on the internet is it reduces a human person to simply an image. Instead of seeing the whole person, their family, their friends, their likes, their interests, it reduces them just to an image. It strips them down and it strips them of their dignity. And what that leads people to do is instead of relating to others as real people, they begin to see others simply as an object to be used for their own pleasure. So what are the effects of this? Well, one effect is in dating. If someone's been involved in this, and the deeper someone gets involved in this, the more they begin to view others simply as objects instead of real people. So if someone pulls that into a dating relationship, what are they looking for in their dating relationship? Well, chances are, they're not striving to form a healthy friendship. They're going to pull that same desire to use a person, a desire for pleasure, into that dating relationship. And they'll enter into a dating relationship seeking to use the other person for their own pleasure. Because it distorts the way that people relate to each other. And so a dating relationship, instead of one being built upon a friendship and real and authentic love, begins to be built upon lust and selfish pleasure. Take that a step further. What happens within marriage, if that's what's brought into marriage? Well, if people are only seeking marriage for their own self-interest, what happens when difficulties come around or when they realize they can find pleasure elsewhere? This is probably one of the leading causes of divorce within our nation, because people are bringing this disordered way of relating to others into their marriage. And it affects not only the married vocation, but also vocations to the priesthood and religious life. And how is someone going to have the freedom to serve Christ and to embrace a lifetime of celibacy if they're addicted to a behavior like this? And ultimately, it leads to the loss of souls, because objectively, it is a mortal sin. It's not venial sin territory, it's mortal sin territory, because it's a radical rejection of the love of God and the love of neighbor that we're all called to. Average age of first exposure, 8 to 11 years old. I'll say that again for the parents and grandparents. Average age, first exposure, 8 to 11 years old. And the younger someone is when they're exposed to that, the more deeply it's going to affect their development and the more it's going to corrupt their moral formation. So we need to be especially on guard with our children and grandchildren. So parents and grandparents, if your child or grandchild has access to the internet, realize they have access to everything on the internet. And everybody who is on the internet has access to your child or grandchild. It works both ways. So it's important for parents to be educated about what can really happen with the internet. So what do we do about this? Well, first, for parents, I think it's important to set boundaries. Don't be afraid to set boundaries for your children and to be a parent, because you know what's best for your child. There's no reason a child should have internet in the bedroom. I know some parents who, if their kid has a smartphone, they take their smartphone at night and give it back to them in the morning. There's no reason they need their phone at night. So set boundaries. There's apps that can monitor phone and internet usage. So I say set clear boundaries. It's an act of love. Secondly, talk to your children. Mothers to their daughters, fathers to their sons. Teach them about your values and what's important in the way to treat someone of the opposite sex. Teach them about purity. Teach them about internet safety. And make it explicit. Don't just assume that children are going to absorb things that you never tell them. Make it explicit. Talk to your kids. And avoid "because I said so" explanations. Give them a good explanation. Be truthful and honest with them. Third thing I'd say for everyone is the sacrament of confession. Go regularly. Once a year is probably not enough. Confession helps to form our conscience, and it helps young people to build virtue and to strive for holiness. It builds that inner desire for holiness. And so frequent confession is very important. And if we do stray from the straight and narrow path, confession helps us to get back to that path quicker before sin takes a deeper hold on us. So use the sacrament of confession. There are not enough confessions going on in this parish. I'll tell you that right now. The confession lines should be a lot longer than they are now. It's a beautiful sacrament. Christ gave it to us for a reason. Take advantage of it. And the fourth thing I'd say is within your families, pray for each other, but also pray together. And do what you can to immerse your family in church world, if you want to call it that. There's so many corrupt influences around us that the more we can surround our children with a healthy environment, the better. So bring your kids to daily mass from time to time. Read the biographies of the saints, the lives of the saints. There's a lot of good videos. Watch them with your families. Pray together. Say the rosary together. Read from scripture together. Bring them to other church events. The more that you can involve and surround your kids with healthy influences, the better off they're going to be. Unfortunately, there's too many other influences like sports, which are fine in and of themselves, but if it pulls people away from the safe haven of the church, it's pulling your children away from what can reinforce their faith and virtue. So St. Paul says, we've been set free so that we can live by the desires of the Spirit, but don't fall back into the desires of the flesh that Christ came to free us from. But use your freedom to live in the Spirit and to seek out healthy relationships of love based upon purity and based upon holiness.